is so far away when I feel the snake bite enter my veins. Never did I wanna be here again, and I don't remember why I came.
Welcome to the Talking Shiitake Podcast. This is Christian.
This is Katie. So, Christian, what are we talking about today?
I think we should talk some health.
Health.
In all its
yeah.
many forms. Yeah.
A lot of aspects of health.
Yeah, I think we can fit some of them in this podcast.
Try.
Yeah. So, but we did get a question or two related. Maybe not related to our previous podcast, but just something somebody wanted to, some friends and listeners wanted us to talk about.
Oh, okay.
First off, there was a question about Obamacare.
Oh, Obamacare.
What we thought of it.
Just what we think of Obamacare in general?
Yes, I'll let you go first, Katie.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. You know what? It's the whole healthcare thing in general. It's just, this Obamacare thing is just Band-Aids. Once again, it's similar to what the healthcare is. It's just a Band-Aid on the symptoms. It's not actually fixing the root of the problem. None of this is fixing the root of the problem. Just adjusting the money and where it comes from and where it goes to doesn't actually fix the healthcare system. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like throwing life rafts into a sinking ship. You're not actually fixing the holes. It's still sinking. So until they get to the root of it, which is basically pharmaceutical companies that are getting kickbacks from the doctors and actually training the doctors because they're the ones funding the medical schools, and they're never going to fix it because that is where it goes. These doctors are trained to push drugs. That's final. And until they fix that and really get to the root of what our healthcare system is and the problems within it, we're never, ever going to fix it.
Do you think they're trained or they're paid to push the drugs?
I think they're trained not to think. They find a symptom and then they find, and not it's not necessarily their fault. From what I understand, when they go through medical school, they're not allowed to really get to the root of what is causing the illness of somebody. Their only job is to diagnose, figure it out, and push some kind of prescription on them.
That makes sense to me. It seems that's been my experience. It's either take this pill or get surgery or come back for more tests. Do you think it's a better than what we had before when a lot of people didn't have insurance?
Do more people have insurance now than they did before? To be honest, I don't know all the total legalities of what Obamacare consists of. It hasn't affected me personally in my health care, but we all had the opportunity to go to the hospital at any time if there was a problem. I guess the only thing missing was maintenance care for most people that didn't have insurance. And are those people more insured now? I'm not so sure that they are. I haven't really seen evidence to support that.
I think last I saw there was something like 9 million people that had signed up for the Obamacare, but I'm not sure. I'm not an expert in it. I haven't paid much attention to it because, again, it doesn't affect me. I know a lot of people that complain about it, for the most part, aren't affected by it because they have insurance through work or other ways. So I'm not sure they're really the best ones to comment on it. I just know there's a lot of anger and emotion and a lot of, I guess, untrue facts. I don't know if that's an actual way to put it, but.
Well, I think that's true, too, because there's a lot of mudslinging on either side of, you know, the problem is they never really presented it as this is what it consists of and this is how it's going to help people. All they said was it's going to help people who don't have insurance. If you want to keep your insurance, you can keep your insurance. But that didn't come true either. So then you have these big lies. And then now how are we supposed to trust anything else in it? Because we were already lied to. Boldface lied. And I mean, that's just whether you believe either side. We've seen right. it. Okay, so that we know he's caught in a lie. Therefore, how do we know about the rest of it? It's very difficult to trust.
Do you think the blame just goes to one person, or should we actually lay the blame on basically all the people working in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I think that there was a bigger agenda there. I don't think Obama himself actually read it. He trusted his advisors, and once again, I think I spoke to this in the last podcast, that he surrounds himself with people who are not in his best interest. If he had people around him who truly understood it and could guide him, and then he could be that front man presenting it to everybody, then I think it would work. But I think he's being told wrong information.
It seems to be that's maybe what each president, at least in the times that we know of, seem to they have those guys surrounding them that push a certain agenda.
Exactly.
That work for some of the people in this country, but maybe not all of them.
Which leads me to
none of them are us.
And it leads me to think that some of those people are the ones who are really in charge. You have the George Soroses of the world who are behind the scenes, kind of, but really pulling the strings. Those are the people we need to worry about, not the front people, because they're really just the puppets.
Can we throw maybe Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld in with George Soros?
Perhaps. I don't know if they're at that level, but maybe. It's hard to say who's within what, but...
Well, maybe we can get more into that on a different podcast, but...
That's more politics than healthcare, but yeah, isn't sure it all the same?
Pretty much. We might touch a little bit more on Obamacare when we get into the health part of our podcast.
It's true.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I know another question is, someone asked me if I was unperturbed about current events. How do you feel about the current events in this world? Do you worry about them? Do you spend much time thinking about them?
You know, I used to. I used to think, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? But honestly, I try to be unaffected by it. I try to think that there's, you know, everything's going to play out the way it's going to play out. And the only thing we actually have control over is ourselves. I can't control what other people do. I guess I can control who we put in office. But even then, I think to some degree, we really have no say in that. It's just a facade of freedom and voting rights. But, I just can only control me. That's all I can do. You know, I feel sorry for certain people in the media and horrible tragedies that have happened. It's hard to be emotionally detached from humans because we're all human. And when you see a tragedy happen, it does affect you in spite of trying to not be affected by it, you know?
Now, when you see a tragedy happening on the news, I know a lot of people face or post those kind of things on Facebook. Do you feel like we should spend time thinking about it, dealing with it? Do you think we should spend so much time focusing on the tragedies in this world?
That's a really good question. I try not to judge it. If it affects you and you feel like you need to talk about it, then talk about it. You know, I mean, if you feel so connected that you need to share and you need input from other people, maybe just to be able to process it, because sometimes talking it out can help you process things that you're disturbed by. And there's a lot of disturbing things happening in this world. But to let it affect you to the degree where you're living in a fearful state of mind in your regular existence, then it becomes where it's hindering your life.
Right. I agree with you there. I used to watch a lot of the news and get really stressed out and the world was going to end and apocalypse and all kinds of crazy stuff. And
hey, Christian, guess what?
What?
The world is going to end.
Not anytime soon.
But you don't know that.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure we got some time. As long as we keep going to the stores and spending our money, the government will let us live.
So the government is in charge of letting the world exist? What if it's solar flares? They have no control over that, or do they?
You know the bad thing about solar flares is no cell phones, no internet, no TV.
That's going to be the destruction of humanity right there. No technology.
Right, man. I'm not sure enough of us read to be able to read books. No, I'm just joking. I really don't pay attention too much to the current events. So I think it's, I kind of see them scroll through on the bottom line as I'm in the gym. Cause there's always Fox or CNN playing in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read the bottom line because I have my headphones on and listening to something else, or it's on mute. And I think I get enough news that way. I kind of know what's going on in the world, but I don't get all the opinion and the doom and gloom and the fear.
Right. That's the thing. Are we allowing that fear to be installed in us?
Right. I think if wherever you're getting your information, you got to pay attention to why they are giving you this information. And you find that most times in the media, it's fear-based, because that will keep you watching on the other side of the commercial and into the next commercial.
Which, you're right. It's all about ratings.
Right. If they can sell their products, they'll keep telling you, what you think you want to hear. Or they'll convince you that you're afraid of something and that you're going to die. So you better watch this so that you don't die. So So I really don't pay attention too much. I mean, I know what's going on around the world. I know what Russia's done. I know a lot of people are afraid of China, different things like that. But I just live my life like I can and hope for the best with everything else that I can't control.
I mean, that's really all you can do, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's the best way to keep yourself calm and not freak out, because it's a scary enough world as it is if you focus on it.
Well, and that kind of goes with what we're going to be talking about today, is the whole health thing, is that keeping your mind in a, you know, a state of mind that's healthy. You know, living in fear and stress, that's not a healthy state of mind. So you can think of it as the mind part of being healthy is, what do you put into your mind? What do you allow to fester in your brain? Those things can actually manifest later as illnesses if you allow it to.
Right. It's like a vicious cycle. Once you start getting on that fear-based lifestyle, the body starts eating itself from within in a lot of ways, I think.
So you work out at the gym. Does that keep you healthy?
I think it does. I'm not some hardcore steroid bodybuilder. I go there basically to stay healthy and just feel better. And there's plenty of studies that prove that you will feel better. I try to eat decently. I fail all the time at it, but the next time I try to make sure I stay away from the cookie rack and see what I can do. I take some supplements here and there and try to, I believe that helps, but I do try to stay somewhat healthy. I'm getting a little older these days, and I want to make sure that I'm enjoying every moment I can.
It's about the quality of life.
Right. Even if staying healthy was going to maybe cut a few years off my life, but that life would be, I'd be able to be more physically active and do more and enjoy it more. It is about the quality of life as opposed to the quantity. We can live forever, but if it's a miserable life,
right,
why would we want to do it?
I agree. I think that the physical aspect of health is only one piece of health, but I do think it's very important. There's a lot of people who talk about, there's a gentleman, Stuart Wilde. He passed away last year, but he writes a book called The Force. And he's a metaphysicist, and he talks about the intake of food and how it is really a transfer of life energy. So he was saying how there's not like a whole lot of life energy in pizza, you know, just don't have a lot of life source in it. So food and the intake of food is really a transfer of energy. Then we need to think about what that energy is. Apple's going to have a stronger life force than a frozen pizza. It's just the way it is. It's just no life force in that. So when you're taking it in, you're taking in sustenance, but are you taking in the right energy?
I think that's something that we could look at. I mean, you look at all the different types of health trends, and the majority of the ones that aren't just fad diets are talking about eating healthier, eating more natural, more fruits and vegetables. You know, there's some diets out there that focus a lot on meats and protein, but mm-hmm. for the most part, they're trying to get you to get all the proper nutrients. And I think cultures in the past have thought of food as a life force. So they didn't quite have all the same choices. They didn't have pizza.
That would have sucked, right?
right. And I can tell you a story about this really great pizza I had about a week ago.
Yeah.
One of the guys here at work made it special, and it was a duck pizza. Tasted great. One of the best pizzas I ever had. First time I ever had duck pizza.
Okay.
The next day I didn't feel that great. So, and I've noticed that. I love pizza. That's probably my favorite food. Every time I have it, the next day I don't feel that great.
Yeah, I agree. It's a weakness of mine too. And then I think the next day, why the hell did I eat that? Because now I feel like crap.
Right. I love my chocolate chip cookies. I eat a couple of them. Then I eat a couple more. And I don't even have to wait till the next day. You just start feeling bad. All the processed parts of the food and the sugar and... I think we have to find a way to get back to a more natural way of eating, but it's not convenient and it's very expensive. So I'm not sure how we're going to get there.
It's true. It is expensive to eat healthy, and that's kind of sad.
And it's really hard because we see those commercials on TV all day with all the fast foods, all the different kinds of easy to make foods that we can throw on our cabinet and make in 10 minutes.
Exactly. And convenience.
We live a busy life. Yeah, it's hard to get away from that. I remember TV dinners back in the day. And that was, as a kid, you think that's cool, but nowadays you realize it's not quite as healthy as it should be.
But and then the ones that it's the worst. At least McDonald's, you know it's bad. You know, you get a Big Mac, you know it's bad. It's these frozen things that say, oh, it's gluten-free and healthy, and it puts all these labels on it, and nature's choice, and it's just misleading you to think that this is healthy. When it's not, it's still processed crap. I don't care how they package it.
Right. My favorite thing is fat-free. Everybody's afraid of being fat.
It's so true.
You see the label that says fat-free, and you're thinking healthy.
Mm-hmm. Or sugar-free even.
Right.
Because then they've got these sweeteners in it.
Which most studies are showing those sweeteners are a lot more dangerous than sugar.
Than just pure sugar.
Right. And I got to be honest with you, if it says fat-free, look at the carbs.
Mm-hmm. Carbs,
that's the problem. In our diet, carbs, I think, are the problem.
I think carbs just might be the Antichrist.
You might discover that that is true.
They make us lazy, lethargic, complacent. We don't care about anything when we've had our big plate of French fries.
That is true. The brain loves carbs.
The brain loves carbs. Well, there was actually a study done on like McDonald's French fries and how the salt and the sugar from the potatoes mixed together causes this just addictive taste in your mouth. And that's why people are so addicted to things like McDonald's French fries. They've actually perfected the formula between salt and sugar to be able to melt in your mouth, and it instantly just absorbs into your body, and you're like, yeah, McDonald's French fries.
Yeah, it triggers all these great things in your brain.
Exactly.
Just totally fools you. And
it becomes addictive.
Yeah. To be fair, it's not just McDonald's. It's basically any fast foods. We just shouldn't eat it. I don't care how convenient it is. Every once in a while, I haven't really eaten very much fast food in maybe 3-4 years.
Well, that's because they don't have those kind of restaurants in the Arctic Circle, Christian.
When I'm home, we have those kind of restaurants. And I used to just drive by McDonald's and go to Subway until I found out they were using the same thing in Subway sandwiches that they make yoga mats out of.
I knew yoga was healthy.
Yeah.
But then, okay, so let's take that. Okay, so let's find. You cut out all the sugar. You cut out all the starch. You can't cut out all the sugar, but let's say processed sugar and the processed food. And you say, I'm only going to eat healthy, and I'm going to spend extra money, and I'm going to buy the broccoli and the carrots and the kale and all this healthy berries and everything else. And then you realize that they're sprayed with all this crap and that they're biogenetically altered, and they're not good for you, and they have hormones in the meat. And so now you're trying to eat healthy, and you still can't eat healthy.
But even with all of those different additives or the pesticides,
chemicals.
Yeah, all those chemicals, I still have to say you're coming out ahead of the game if you're doing that.
I think you're probably right.
It's not quite as bad as a lot of alternative media might say for you. They'll tell you how you're going to die from eating some vegetables from a field, and all the fruits you eat are genetically modified and all kinds of things like that. There is some truth to that, I think, but the truth isn't quite as dangerous as they lead you to believe. And sometimes in this world, you got to make choices. And a healthy choice might not be as healthy as we'd like it, but sometimes it's pretty hard to do unless you're rich.
They even say that just the act of making that choice is healthy, because then your mind actually says, oh, this is healthy for my body. Because when you go to pick up that cookie or something that you feel guilty about and you go to eat it and then you feel bad about eating it, it turns a chemical in your brain that says, this is bad for me. So now your body is actually trying to reject it because it thinks it's bad, because now you've mentally said that it's bad.
And now if you keep eating that whatever it is you're eating that's bad, you're going to override some of those signals, and eventually you're going to forget about it, and you'll wonder why you're not feeling great, Why you can't
just ignore, because you've ignored it now for so long, it just becomes part of who you are.
Yeah, your body's going to accept it and say, okay, well, I guess we're going to have to eat this. Let's move on.
This is all we've got to work with.
Let's watch the news and see if we can distract ourselves. There's got to be some reality TV on or something.
Right. Well, and then Stuart Wilde also talks about how you can't grow consciously with poor food in your body. It just, he says it's not impossible, but it's very, very difficult to eat crappy and be able to elevate your vibration to be able to receive certain information.
Well, it would seem to me that even though we can fool ourselves, our body knows deep down, and it'll fight against whatever you put into your body. So you're not going to be at your optimum health.
Exactly. So your body's not working at its peak performance. Therefore, you can't actually even grow and evolve spiritually. So when you hear terms like your body is your temple, maybe we've kind of misinterpreted that, where you really can't grow spiritually with crap in your system because your body's not working at its full potential.
But some people just worship bacon. That's a totally different type of thing.
You know, that's a different spirituality, I guess. I don't understand.
Probably not a healthy one.
But who are we to judge?
I don't know if we're judging. We're just, the bottom line is the first thing you can do to start being healthy is to ditch all that stuff you're drinking.
Like soda?
Soda, any kind of juices that you buy at a store. I mean, you could make your own juice. I'm sure that's a little bit better. That's similar to eating fruit. But.
So we'll dehydrate.
Well, you got to have nothing but water, really.
Nothing but water.
Maybe not anything but water, but water has to be the main part of your diet.
Mm-hmm.
They say many times that when we think we're hungry, we're just dehydrated.
That's true. I think you're right.
How many of these so-called symptoms of all kinds of different sicknesses, or just many of the times when we feel bad, are we dehydrated?
Probably a lot.
Yeah, the last couple of years I didn't drink much water, and now that's pretty much all I drink. I drink my water, some coffee, and every once in a while, some alcohol. Depending on what I'm doing, it might be more than once every once in a while, but that's a different story.
But, so then we could talk about one of Christian's nicknames, BL Christian.
Oh, so I threw out one of your nicknames, so.
Yeah, that's right. Turnaround's fair play.
I don't recognize that nickname.
Yeah, I'm sure you don't. But, you know, then they even say that there's issues with our water, that we're tapping into the water source too early. Like we're using what they call immature water or premature water.
How could that be?
Because it doesn't have all the minerals in it yet. So they're taking it not from the deepest part where they're supposed to be taking the water from, but that's been filtered. They're taking this other water that doesn't have all the minerals in it that we need. So the minerals are actually what hydrates you, not the water itself. It's the minerals in the water. So if the minerals are lacking in the water, then you're not being hydrated. So a lot of these bottled water companies, they get it from this water table that hasn't gone through its full cycle yet.
Well, I can see that being an issue. Maybe a lot of the water companies are just getting regular filtered water. They're going to filter out all the bad stuff, and maybe they take out some of the nutrients.
Oh, yeah, and I've heard that, too. For the ionization and that kind of thing with water, then you take out the nutrients that you need.
Right. So my feeling on that would be drink your water. Eat somewhat healthy if you can. And you're still better off.
Yeah.
Don't stop drinking water because it might not be perfect.
I don't think you should stop drinking water. But there are certain things. There's a product out there called Adia Clarity, which actually puts the minerals back in your water. So you just put like a couple drops in your water, and it's supposed to put all those and the minerals that we take over the counter aren't even the proper minerals. You can't really replace the minerals that are natural in water.
I've never heard of that.
Because they're like micro minerals that absorb into your body that hydrate you.
That sounds kind of kooky, though.
The truth usually is, Christian.
That sounds like one of those things they pull in on a wagon and give you this miracle cough syrup.
Well, there's this stuff called snake oil, and it's really good for... No, I'm just kidding.
It's got cocaine in it. strychnine.
Right. So if you physically are good, are you a healthy person?
I think there's a lot more to just, I think mentally is even more important than physically. I think if you can be mentally healthy, the body's going to fall in line the majority of the time. We all have, there's always an outlier, but if you can stay healthy mentally, you're doing pretty good.
So how do you think we stay healthy mentally?
I think everybody, there's different ways for everybody, and it can vary. I think stay away from media news, fearful things. Take a break from Facebook and all those other kinds of things that might get you distracted, and just take some time to yourself. It's going to be different for everybody, but I think many of the struggles that humans have are because they aren't mentally healthy, and we've all been there before. And chances are, we go there every day. It's just, how do we get ourselves out of that negative energy place, that place where we're thinking things that we shouldn't be thinking, or turning our fear and anger on ourselves. A lot of people that are spiritual or go to church, they can find peace there. Or people that just are in Alaska, we got a lot of outdoorsmen. They love it outdoors. That's a peaceful place for them.
And I think to some degree that really is the church.
For the people in Alaska, or right, just in general?
Well, I mean, yeah. So a lot of people find it at the beach or just being with nature. I mean, that's like being at church. I mean, nowhere does it say that you have to have pews and stained glass windows to be in touch with God.
That is true. I think no matter who you are, you got to find that centered place, and that place that makes you feel peace.
Find your happy place.
Right. Sometimes my happy place is right on a couch with hanging out with the dog, and that's about it.
And a bag of potato chips.
I gave up the potato
chips. Yeah, I don't need them either. But that could be some people's happiness. You know, that's the problem. I think too many people find too much happiness in the bottom of a cookie jar.
Now, is that happiness or is that
simulated?
Distraction, contentedness. It could just be a lie.
Temporary. It's a temporary fix, I think. You're not really getting to the root of the problem. Well, and it's interesting because I asked one time, I was a doctor, and I was asking him about, like, why don't we crave, like, broccoli and carrots and, you know, fruit? How come I crave Doritos and snacks? You know what I mean? So basically how he explained it was that we misinterpret our cravings. That a lot of times when you crave salt, you actually have a depletion in your kidneys, which is really your life source. So these are people that typically, you know, burn the candle at both ends. Their bodies are depleted, and they're so depleted that they not only want to go to something salty, they have to go to the saltiest thing they can find to, you know, curb that craving. Or if you crave sugar, it's typically a digestive issue. So what you do is you go to the sweetest thing you can find, as opposed to going to fruits and kind of fill that up. But we're so depleted that we go to the total extremes. And that, to me, that makes sense.
Yeah, you'll grab something that's easy to get to. And then once you get it, you have to keep going because it's not really doing what it's
exactly
supposed to do. I think the best way to see how our body works with cravings is just hang out with a pregnant woman. That is, they live their life one way and they get pregnant and they have these crazy cravings that just make no sense.
I know.
But biologically, it's what their body needs and what their baby's body needs. So it really makes perfect sense. It just seems crazy that you'd have, you know, I was never pregnant, so I don't know this for sure, but some of the cravings you hear about are just ridiculous. But when you think about the nutrients that might be there, it makes perfect sense.
So then why did I crave beer? Beer just smelled so good to me. I don't know what it was. I never drank anything while I was pregnant, but the smell of beer, I couldn't wait to, as soon as I stopped nursing, I was like, I am having a beer. I just craved beer the whole time, but I never drank any, you know, because I was always afraid, you know, something's going to happen. I'm sure you could have had a beer, but I just chose not to. But
well, I think there's got to be something in beer that would have been helpful, something that you could smell that was in the beer. I'm even though I have the BLC nickname, I'm not a big beer drinker. So I don't really understand what would be in beer that somebody would crave. I can't think of any time I've actually ever craved it. But that's just one of my weird.
I hadn't either until then. But yeah, you're right. So as your body goes through these different changes, just like teenagers, I guess, reaching puberty or women in menopause or any type of severe like body change, like a pregnancy, you're going to have different cravings, feelings, even your emotions change drastically, especially when you're pregnant. I mean, then your emotions are a huge part of how the chemicals work in your body as well.
I think it shows you how perfect our system is.
It is.
Where our brain is sometimes what screws it up. We don't listen to our brain, or to our body, I should say.
Right. We don't listen to our bodies.
We fool ourselves into thinking that our body's telling us something else. So.
But that comes with, like you were saying, that mental health can be just as important, and the physical part will fall in later, because if you're mentally healthy, those things really aren't going to happen. You're not going to have those cravings because you're well mentally.
Right. I think if you really want to understand your cravings and maybe your needs, you might want to write down everything that you're eating.
Ah, that's a good exercise.
How you're feeling when you're eating this or when you crave something. You do it for a couple weeks to a month, and you might find out some pretty interesting things that could change your life.
You know, it's true.
It's not always about... A lot of people talk about this type of thing, eating properly, working out, or exercising to look great. It's not just about that. It's more about how you feel than how you look.
But sometimes that can be the reversal too, because maybe you're feeling bad about yourself because you don't look great or you are sluggish. So you start working out. It can also help you mentally.
Right. And there's a lot of studies that show that the best way to beat depression and anxiety is to do basically have some strenuous exercise. It'll help your brain kind of recalibrate itself, get it back into the normal area, and you'll feel better. Now, there's also the extreme, and it could be connected to addictive behaviors where people go to where they have to just do nothing but exercise, and it's really intense exercise that's damaging their body.
So they're like addicted to the endorphins.
Right. And those endorphins, you'd probably, if you looked at their life history a little bit more, you might find that they were doing other things to release those endorphins.
Like what?
It was maybe some drugs, a risky life, different kind of risky behaviors, jumping out of airplanes, driving really, just all the different things. So I think keeping track of what you're doing and why, how you're feeling, might help you get that under control. And at some point, some people have to go to the doctor, whether it's for mental or physical issues. Sometimes you have to listen to what's going on and go to the doctor and get help.
Well, and sometimes that help is in the form of a pill, which isn't necessarily maybe a good temporary fix. But long term, being on some of these medications turns out to be worse than the original ailment that you had.
I think if you... In almost every case, if you just depend on a pill or some kind of medicine, you're getting into a dangerous place. I think a lot of people need it temporarily,
mm-hmm.
either to alleviate pain or to get their brain chemistry right, so they're safe. And but it's
not jamming a fork in their eye,
right? It's you have to be really careful if it's a long-term thing.
Right. So it's not, it's basically just helping you get through that time, but you really got to get to the root of what's causing the ailment to begin with.
Right. And I think to do that, you really just have to pay attention to yourself. You have to be able to look in the mirror and be honest with yourself at times. And that's really hard for us to do. Sometimes we don't mm-hmm. like that person staring back at us. Sometimes we don't want to have to face those truths and those weaknesses that we see. And it's something we have to practice, I think, and I'm no expert at it. I have, I'm sure I struggle with it just as much as anybody, but if you can sit there and be a little bit honest with yourself, you'll keep trying to find different ways to fix, and this is anything, whether it's health or just anything that comes about in life. You just got to be a little honest with yourself, and then you can start dealing with the issues.
Well, and that I totally agree, because at that point you can address what's going on. It's the times where you put it away and you stuff it inside and you just keep it all balled up in there and you never really address the issue. And this is where I think medicine and these mind-altering pills and these happy pills that people take, it's actually doing a disservice, because now you're not addressing the root of the sadness or the issue or the anxiety. Now you're just masking it, so you're not going to deal with it. And as it festers inside of you, it actually can manifest as a physical sickness in your body.
Right, right. And we see it happen all the time.
All the time.
The cancers.
Exactly.
All kinds of other. Diabetes is a major thing that's going to be in our future. Our generation, our children's and our grandchildren's generation, if we don't change something.
And sometimes I think it has to go back to some of the original therapies that maybe we had in the early days. Like, we've gone to this whole pill system, but there's a lot of things out there. There's a gentleman by the name of Dr. Richard Gerber, and he wrote a book called Vibrational Medicine. And in Vibrational Medicine, he talks about, you know, acupuncture, homeopathy, using oils and herbs and all kinds of natural stuff. There's no side effects to these things. I mean, even like crystals, which I know is kind of hippie mumbo jumbo, but if you look at like what a crystal is in nature, it's like the most perfect structure in nature. If you look at it on a molecular level, it has the most perfect lattice structure of anything on this planet. And so if you use that and can mirror that with your body, because if you look at human tissue, it actually has that same kind of crystalline makeup if you look at it on a molecular level. So if you can get those two things together and one can actually transcend the vibration, it can actually heal what it's next to. And to me, that makes sense. Even there's a real science behind it.
I think some of it makes sense. I have trouble with the crystals.
Most people do, but it makes so much
sense. I think they're pretty, but
you think they're pretty.
Better. Yeah, but I can't see a crystal healing me.
Well, I mean, this is real science. It's not like somebody just said, oh, yeah, I hold it, it makes me feel better. I mean, they've actually detected the resonance from certain crystals, and they've put them into these categories where there's seven main categories of crystals, and they emit what they call a geometric resonance, and they can actually detect it. And they've even taken it so far as to categorize it in these seven categories that actually match the seven key chakras of the human body. So you can take a certain crystal that resonates with a certain chakra in your body, put those together, and one, it's almost like a guitar string on one side of the room, and you strum it, and then the guitar on the other side of the room actually vibrates with that same tone, even though nobody's playing it, because it's a transfer of vibration.
That is some hippie stuff.
Come on, it makes sense, though.
What if somebody doesn't know what a chakra is?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter if you know what it is. Basically, you know, we've got seven main chakras in our system. The root chakra, which starts at the base of your spine and goes up to the sacral chakra, and your solar plexus chakra, your heart chakra, throat, and your third eye and your crown chakra. And those are the main ones. But there's like 144 different chakras throughout your body. And all it is really meridian points on your body. That's certain intake of energy and out emitting energy from your body. And so if you understand the flow of this, is basically what acupuncture does. They find these meridian points in your body where the key points of energy are, and they release any stuck energy that happens to be within your body to allow your body to heal itself. Because your body has the ability to heal itself if you allow it to.
I agree with you there. I think your body can produce every drug that it needs to fix itself. But crystals are still kind of kooky. I can deal with acupuncture. Not sure I can deal with crystals.
But think about it, it makes perfect sense. Everything has a geometric pattern to it in life, right? I mean, you can see that's the root of creation right there. I mean, you look at the nautilus shell and you look at certain plants and how their geometry is just so beautiful. I mean, that's the beauty of the geometry of the entire creation. I mean, that's looking at God right there.
But unless you really hate math, then geometry is not cool.
Sacred geometry is a little bit different, although Pythagoras was pretty right on with a lot of that stuff.
Okay, so I don't know.
But do you believe in transfer of energies? Like, if you're around somebody who's negative, can you feel that energy from somebody? Is that hippie mumbo jumbo?
No, that just drives me. That is something. Yeah, that's being around a psychic vampire is what I call them.
Right. So you can sense the energy from one person to another, correct?
It almost feels, yeah, if it's somebody negative, it feels like they're taking my good energy into their soul and doing whatever they want to with it. But in the end, I feel depleted and horrible.
Violated.
We all know those people.
But then on the flip side, you're around somebody who's like, oh my gosh, they've got so much energy. And, you know, you don't even have to think about taking or giving energy, because just being around that person, you just have a lot of energy and it just goes back and forth and it just feels natural. And you're like, there's a good transfer of energy, but you can feel it. It's palpable. It's something that's detectable.
I agree, but I enjoy those people a lot more after I've had my morning coffee. Otherwise, it's too much energy. Too much.
So that coffee, that is your energy. Tell us about your coffee. You do something interesting with your coffee, don't you?
I do, and every time I tell somebody about it, they look at me like I'm crazy. What I do is I'll get my coffee. I try to get grass-fed butter, but most of the time it's hard to get the grass-fed butter, so I just get unsalted butter.
Okay.
Some MCT oil, which is medium chain triglycerides. It's basically a healthy fat.
In what form? A pill?
No, it comes in a jar.
It's a liquid?
It's a liquid.
Okay.
Tasteless. You can't. I put it in my coffee. You can't even taste it. And so what I'll do is I'll take about a tablespoon of butter. I'll take a tablespoon or two of the MCT oil. Now, when you first start out, you have to start off with just maybe one tablespoon, because if your body's not used to it, there may be an explosion somewhere. I won't go into
detail. That's a good warning.
But I started with a tablespoon of the MCT oil, put the butter in the coffee, put the coffee in my little magic bullet or a blender, blend it for 20 seconds, pour it back in my cup. And it is the best coffee I've ever had.
And it's still hot, though?
Still hot.
So you put it in the blender hot?
Put it in the blender hot.
And the butter all melts in there? That sounds disgusting.
It's amazing. What happens is the blender will mix up the oils. Otherwise, you'll see like an oily sheen on the top of your coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't look right and taste right. But when you mix it up, it looks like a latte or something you get from Starbucks.
It's all frothy?
Yes. And so I'll just drink it from there. You don't get. Most of us drink our coffee for the caffeine. Now, once that caffeine wears off, which is pretty quickly with your coffee, you kind of have a little downtime, and you might need some more. What happens with the healthy oils is it kind of slows the intake of the caffeine, so it's more of a steady energy. You're not out of your mind or anything like that.
Because it's basically clogging your arteries to where it can't flow as fast. Is that what we're saying?
That's why you use healthy fats.
Okay.
If you want to be unhealthy and clog your arteries, you use lard. But we do need fat in our diet. That's why I was saying that fat-free stuff is a little ridiculous. You just have to choose the proper fats.
The right fats. Okay.
Right.
So what do we look at for on a package that says it's the proper fats?
I'm no expert in fats, but let's think about you'll grab some vegetable oil from the store.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the back of that. And then you put it next to olive oil. And basically you'll see the difference in the labels. I'd have to have the labels in front of me to read them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, I'm no expert in fats. But olive oil is a healthy fat. Vegetable oil is hydrogenated oil, which is that's what you're gonna find in your chips and everything like that.
Mm.
Anybody that wants to correct me on this or add more information, just hop on the Facebook page, throw it in there. It'll help us all.
That's right. Facebook page, Talking Shiitake. Also on Twitter. Any feedback? Comments? Anybody wants to call me a hippie?
And you've been called a hippie before. I'm sure you can handle it.
I'm pretty thick-skinned when it comes to the hippie calling.
Right.
I don't consider myself a hippie, though. I really don't.
You're not really a hippie, but
I don't think so.
You have some crazy hippie beliefs, maybe.
I think the hippies may have been on to something in certain aspects, but they didn't quite take it far enough.
Yeah, they should have tried my coffee.
They probably will now. The hippies, all the hippies listening.
I challenge everybody to try my coffee.
That's the challenge for the week.
Right. And if you're not sure, there's a website, Bulletproof Coffee. Check it out. They get a little crazy. They want you to order their coffee because it doesn't have any molds or fungus or some crazy stuff on it. But for the most part, coffee shouldn't have that the way it's processed. All that stuff should be burnt off. So if you just have coffee, unsalted butter, or even better, grass-fed butter, MCT oil is actually in coconut oil. So you can use coconut oil instead. That's a little, because if you like coconut, it's the same thing.
I can't understand how butter eats grass, but, you know, that's a whole nother show probably.
Yes, it is. There's this thing called a cow.
Butter goes around grazing in the fields. So that's the challenge for the week. Butter coffee and crystals, right?
Right. I think that's crystals. Wait, how'd you throw that in there?
Your challenge, my challenge. Look it up. Okay. Oh, honestly, though, if you're interested in any type of vibrational medicine, Dr. Richard Gerber, absolutely amazing book, Vibrational Medicine, and it's on Audible if you have an Audible account, and he does a great job narrating it. But it talks about so much stuff. It's like the textbook on all of it. I mean, he is definitely the master. But we're actually out of time. Is there anything else you want to get out there before we close it up?
I think we should close it up with a little conspiracy theory.
Oh, yeah?
Let everybody
okay.
ponder that. Okay, so at the time of this recording, we have a missing plane that they think that they might have found the region that it's in. But one of the theories that somebody had told me about recently was that the plane had landed, whether it was in the water or somewhere along its path. So a couple important people, for whatever reason, were removed. Then the plane was locked up, sent off to crash into the ocean to never be found again. Kooky stuff? X-Files?
Wait, so they landed and what? Took everybody off?
Not everybody. Maybe just one or two important people.
So, and you had mentioned before, and I don't know if this was on the podcast or just to me, but you'd mentioned something about there were a group of very important people supposedly on this plane. Like, who?
There were a couple of Iranians that were supposedly supposed to defect. I think they were going to end up in the Netherlands or somewhere like that. I know everybody freaked out because there were these Iranians that got on the plane with fake passports.
Right, but I remember hearing that.
Iranians don't typically, they've been involved with terrorism before, but they're not usually terrorists. They usually get somebody else to do their terrorism.
But I thought there was important people on there, like the son of the Bilderbergers or the Fairchilds or something.
I did hear another theory like that, but maybe everybody needs to go look that up. I love conspiracy theories. I don't believe most of them. So.
But there's always seems to be that, I wonder if this one little piece of it's true, you know, why is it a theory? There's got to be something to it. Why am I drawn to it? So sometimes you just wonder, maybe the whole thing's a little out of whack, but maybe there's a little bit of truth in there. That's where we need to find out.
I agree. Do your studying. Don't take what we say as the truth. Go look it up yourself. You
totally.
See it on the news. Google it. And then don't expect the first source to be the right one. We got to study a little bit. We got to work a little bit to find the truth, and that'll make everything a lot better in this world.
I agree.
Good place to end it.
There we go. So until next time.
Check out Talking Shiitake.